Hey, folks, how are you doing today? I hope everything's good. You know what? Do I sound a little hoarse? Do I sound a little bit funny? I got this little bug, and I know exactly where I got the bug. From going into a hospital. You know? Go figure, right? But I tell you what, I'm always a healthy guy, but it seems like every single time I go to the hospital. Now, this wasn't a doctor's visit for me. This is just go see a friend. I've been there a couple of times, but I knew that I was going to get something. Sure enough, I got a little bit of the sniffles. But hey, don't worry. You're not going to get it from me because you're there and I'm here. Anyhow, today I've got a returning guest, Maria Leggett, and she is a medium. So we're going to talk about what the difference between a psychic and a medium is. And also, she's going to explain to us what a chakra is. Have you heard of a chakra? It's not an Indian mystic or anything like that. So listen to the podcast. She's got some good information. Also, if you're experiencing anything, trauma or anything like that, this one, we talk a little bit about that too. So please sit back, listen, enjoy. And of course, if you are a pet owner, please be responsible and have your pets spayed or neutered. All right, let's get right to it.
Yeah, let's roll back a little bit and let's kind of give everybody who's new to watching, listening. Wow, somebody did not like something. Did you hear that? Oh my God.
You're talking to a medium, man. All kinds of things are going to happen.
That's scary. It was my phone, but the phone was right up on a flat surface. Ooh, scary.
That's just spirit saying, hello, Chuck Tuck. How are you?
You know, let me correct that. I shouldn't say that's scary, right? Because that's oftentimes that's the wrong thing. That's a reaction we get when somebody's trying to communicate or say something rather than us really paying attention. And you're right. It was probably the spirit saying, hey, don't forget me.
Yeah.
So
I take them with me everywhere I go. They show up.
You know, because that was just like perfect timing because I was saying, let's roll it back a little bit and let's, you know, get a little bit about you. And yes, and you that is here with me, with us. So we have not forgotten about you. But yes, Maria Leggett, you are a medium. You know, let's talk a little bit about what that is to refresh people's minds, what a medium is, a psychic is. Two different things, right?
Yes, sir. You remember. Good job.
Yeah. And then I've got a couple things that I want to run down. Is I want to ask you what the most common misconception is in what you do. So,
okay.
And then kind of go into what's been the most profound, transformative communication that you've had with, you know, the spirits from beyond, and how it's either impacted you or the person that you did the reading for. Then I got a couple more, but let's keep it easy and let's take that. So, Maria.
Okay, so I am a spiritualist medium, and there is a difference between a psychic and a medium, and not a lot of people understand that. Unfortunately for me, SEO, which is search engine optimization for anybody who's listening, picks up the word psychic much quicker and better than it does medium. So I have to list myself as a psychic medium for my website to get picked up. I don't like to advertise the psychic piece, but it's okay. I mean, it is part of what I do. What a psychic does is a psychic will check, like a psychic would read your energy. So they would look right at you, read your energy, and be able to tell you things about you, right? Because we carry all of our memories with us. Everywhere that we go, we're carrying them with us. And so a psychic can tap into your specific personal energy, right? And that's the difference. We tap into your personal energy and we can read things about you. Not all psychics are mediums, but all mediums are psychics. And when my teacher, Chad Siebert, taught me that years ago, I was dumbfounded. I was like, I'm not psychic. I'm not that special. And he's like, yeah, you are. So mediums, the difference between psychic and medium is when a medium is doing their job, they are not reading your energy. They have raised their vibration. They are connecting into the other side. And we have to be able to prove the continuity of life. So we have to be able to prove when we have to give different pieces of evidence about that person, somebody we've never met. It could be their body size, the way they died, things they liked, mannerisms, the way that they moved, things they would say. We have to give all kinds of evidence. We also have to be able to prove the continuity of life, which means I have to be able to say, when was the last time that that soul was with the person sitting in front of me after they passed?
Okay. You're like a conduit.
Because there's no way I would know that any other way.
Right.
And so that's the difference between a psychic and a medium, is we have to be able to give the continuity of life to explain that to people.
Okay. Middle person, you're a conduit of some sort then.
I consider myself a straw.
Ah. Okay, yes. I picture that now. That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah, I'm literally just a straw where spirit pours the information into me and then I spew it out the other side to the person. So I'm literally just a channel, right? But when you say channel to people, they don't quite understand. So I say I'm a straw and it just comes right down out of me into them. And I, you know, it is what it is. I try very hard not to interpret it.
Okay.
Because spirit will use each medium's base of knowledge to be able to get a message across to someone. And so they can use the weirdest, most interesting ways to get information across. And as long as the person sitting in front of me understands, it's none of my business.
Well, I guess kind of like whoever is in the presence with me right now, right at the beginning, made themselves known that they are here. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Of course, you know, we talked about this before, but there are believers and non-believers, and it's to each their own. You need to really understand and open yourself up to believing and to not react like I did, like, oh, that's scary, because it's probably more often not, it's not a scary situation. It's just someone trying to make their presence known. So
yeah, but it doesn't mean that we don't go, ugh!
Yeah, right.
Because it happens to me, right? I'm like, oh my God, that scared the poop out of me.
Yeah.
Because you just don't expect it, right? Boom. And spirit. And sometimes I think that they laugh at us because we're humans going, oh.
Well, you know.
But yeah. I mean, it can be scary when it happens. Like the way that I found out I was a medium scared the poop out of me. Yeah. But it is what it is. Yeah. But spirit had to find a way to like slam it in there and go, hey.
Yeah. Having, I may be using a poor choice of words, but an apparition or something, someone next to you in a car while you're driving at 60 miles an hour, that is going to freak you out. So
I was doing 80. But 80. Yes. I'll wrap myself out there for a moment. Yeah.
You know, with all the readings and how you've helped people, is there a situation that you could recall that really has changed you, changed your life, aside from the very first time, or maybe the person that you were doing the reading for?
Yes. So here's what I'll say. It wasn't that I was reading for someone, but it was definitely, it has massively impacted my life in a huge way. And so this is going to be controversial and trigger people as they listen, especially if they're Christian. So please just bear with me if you're listening to this and you're Christian. I was raised in a very Christian atmosphere and was turned away from a church because my mom had broken up with the largest donor to the church. And so after they had broken up, my mom and I went back to the church and we were literally escorted off of the ground by the reverend and asked not to come back. So in that moment, you know, Jesus turned me away. I didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. I didn't want to have anything to do with Christianity. I didn't want to go to church. All of you just stay away from me. And I was 12, so this was pretty impactful. Fast forward to about 5 years ago, I was sitting in meditation and I have a very specific place that I go in meditation. I go down these stairs and I go into this really comfortable room and I'm super happy. But I go down these stairs and I can very clearly hear my spirit guides. Nope, we're turning to the right. And I just felt like somebody shifted my body to the right, which is not normal. And I was like, but I don't go to the right. And they're like, but you are today. And so I'm very clairsentient. So I could feel the coldness coming down this hallway. And it was like stone walls, like somebody had carved the stone out. So I was just feeling the walls and I could see torches. My path was very well lit. And I go into this like big conclave, whatever. It was a place where I could tell somebody had been. And there was a rock in front of the thing. And there was this big thing off to the right. And I could see the outline of a body. And I turned and I looked and I went, I know where I'm at. And no, thank you very much. And I turned to walk out. I was in the place where Jesus had died. And I turned to walk out going, no, thank you. Wow. I don't want to have anything to do with Christianity. I'm out. And I could very clearly hear Jesus' voice say, please stay just for a moment. And I stopped. And I mean, my heart's like beating a million miles a minute. I can, like, it's happening again. Like, it's all like I'm in there. And I just turned around and I could see him. And for anybody watching, Jesus is not white. I'm just saying. And he looked at me and I said, I don't like you. He says, I know there are a lot of people who don't like me. And I said, so why am I here? He goes, because if I can talk to you and get you to listen, maybe you can get through to other people. And I said, okay, so what does that mean? And I said, I am not going to follow you. I'm not going to be some sheep with no brain. I'm not nothing. That's just not who I am. And he says, that's not what I want. He said, I never wanted people to follow me. I only ever wanted to walk with you, next to you, and support you in everything that you want to do. And I was dumbfounded because that is not what I was taught in the church at all. Wow. And so he asked me if I would just take a minute to sit down. And I said, okay, because I was so dumbfounded, I didn't know what else to do. So I just sat down in the cave and started talking to him. And he said, I didn't incarnate and come down to this earth to have people follow me. All I wanted to do was spread information to let people know what was possible on this earth because people were forgetting, which is exactly where we're at right now. We're forgetting how magical we are as human beings. We're forgetting that we come from another place, that we don't originate on earth. We're just down here to learn lessons. We are not remembering to love each other. We are not remembering to enjoy and uplift each other for who they are, right? Yeah. And he was very clear in that it doesn't matter to him who's non-binary, who's male, who's female, who identifies as what, sexual orientation, gender identity, none of that matters to him. He said, we love everybody because on the other side, we're just souls. None of that even exists over there. So when you come down here, you need to remember to love everybody. It doesn't matter what they are. And that means I'm asking you to love the person who molested you as a little girl. I'm asking you to love somebody who's murdered someone because everybody deserves to be loved. We don't know their backgrounds. We don't know their past. And it's not up to you to judge them. If I'm not judging them, neither are you.
So it sounds like to me, once you get to that place, there are no labels. So we shouldn't be labeling people now?
Yeah. Exactly.
That is very transformative and very profound. So
yeah, that's how I felt. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say.
Yeah. It leaves me speechless as to, you know, what do I ask you next about anything really? That is like the end of the beginning or the beginning of the end, so to speak, you know, as a person, if something like that happens.
Yeah.
So, but let me ask you this then. It's how do you feel that what you do helps people maybe who are in grief or who need guidance? Guidance may be the wrong word, but more...
No, it's the right word. So there are a lot of people who come to me. I mean, I get a lot of people come to me, just want to meet their spirit guides, which is great. Mm-hmm. And it's actually the majority of my clientele. I only get about maybe 25, 30% of people who want to talk to their crossover loved ones. The ones that do come to me because there's something unresolved. And I am, I literally, as I sit here, think about it, I want to cry because I am honored and I am humbled to do this work because I am able to listen to this spirit on the other side give the apology that they were not able to give here. So watching that person in front of me cry and release that guilt, shame, discomfort, and let it go in my office so that I can transmute that energy as they leave. And watching them walk out so much lighter, recognizing, and this is an overall general message for anybody who is listening, and apparently this is something that wants to come out. If you know someone who has committed suicide, please know there was nothing that you could have done to have changed that outcome. Nothing. There has not been one soul who has said, if you had called me, I wouldn't have done it. Not one. They've all said, it was my choice, it was my decision, and there was nothing that you could have done. You loved me, you tried, you worked with me, I just wasn't ready. And so it's really important that we start to recognize that message because we have been taught, we have been conditioned from childhood that we can control somebody else's behavior, right? We have been conditioned by our parents and our grandparents and the church that if you behave and if you are good, then this is going to happen. And that's not the case. We cannot control the way anybody behaves in this world. And so we have to start recognizing that we can't control them. We can only control our behavior. And so we need to start letting go of this guilt so that we can move freely and learn the lessons that we need to learn. And then we need to sit in gratitude for having that person in our lives, no matter how long or how short the time was.
Yeah. You know, that makes me think of one big word, four-letter word, help. Help does not mean that you're going to cure or fix that person. So therefore, because you helped someone and they still follow through with whatever they were going to do to themselves does not mean that you need to put blame on yourself, that you didn't fix them, because that's really not your job to fix them. All you can do is help them. And that's kind of, to me, like you could give them guidance. You could be there with them, but whatever their decision is there, that's their decision. So you know, kind of like what you're saying. If you're out there, you're watching or you're listening, don't blame yourself for the tragedy of somebody else.
It's not even a therapist's job to fix someone. Yeah. All the therapist does is give you the tools for you to fix yourself. And that's what we have to start looking at, right? As a society, we can't rely on medication or a therapist or a class. We can't rely on any of that to fix us. Right? Mm-hmm. I teach people how to do mediumship. I will hold your hand. I will lead you through all of it. If you say, I can't do this, there is not a damn thing I'm ever going to be able to teach you that's going to get through that ego point if you say, I can't.
Yeah. Yep. So what is the Temple of the Sacred Circle? Because you have that where I think folks can actually talk about things, right?
Yes. Temple of the Sacred Circle is my online community. Mm-hmm. It is something that I wanted to start because I have a lot of friends who are in the LGBTQ community and don't feel like they have any place to go where they can be accepted, where they can be loved. And I started doing, and I probably should get back to it. I started doing lectures. I don't want to call them sermons because it's too churchy. But I started doing lectures, which is what they call them in spiritualism, like every couple of weeks. And obviously because it just was not a super well-known thing, I didn't have a very high attendance. And so, of course, you know, my ego gets in the way and goes, oh, well, if nobody comes, maybe nobody wants it. And Spirit's like, no, shut up, keep going. And then I let my ego get in the way. So I should probably go back to it because I do miss doing it. just being able to talk, because spirit wants everybody to know you belong. It's finding where you belong.
Mm-hmm.
And I can comfortably now talk about Jesus where I couldn't before, because Jesus is not what so many Christians claim him to be. He does not judge. I don't care what anything. He doesn't judge. He doesn't want to judge. It's never been his place. What he wants to do is love you through everything that you want to get through. He's like the best unconditional loving father anybody could ever have. Doesn't care if you're gay, doesn't care about any of that. And those are the things that I can talk about. Temple of the Sacred Circle is also a place where you can go to get spiritual education. So I have spirit guide classes on there. I talk about moon magic, and I have a friend of mine who is working on some classes that I can't wait to release. Because he's absolutely brilliant, and so I can't wait to release his classes, but I can't talk about him until he's ready. And I have, let's see, God, what else do I have on there? I'm adding more and more. I'm starting chakra classes on there because our chakra system, we have 7 main chakras that we're aware of here in the West that we talk about the most. Mm-hmm. And in each one of those chakras, we have a piece of us that is blocked. There's something that's going on. And so my classes, they're online classes, they're self-paced, where you can walk through them and start learning, okay, what does the chakra really do? What does it control? When is it developed? Because each chakra develops at a different time stage. It's not like you're born with all 7 developed. So they develop at different time stages.
Can you explain just a little bit about what chakra is for the folks who don't mm-hmm. know, or maybe have never heard of the word chakra? Or if they hear, they only think of a mystic Indian or something like that, you know?
Yeah. So the word chakra translated literally means spinning wheel. It's a spinning wheel of energy. And in Charles Ledbetter's book, The Chakras, which was written in, I want to say it was 1928 or 1932. I can't remember. I have a copy of it here somewhere. He talks about the chakras, which you can find in the Vedic texts. Science has been able to prove where those chakras are physically located in your body. So there is a ganglion, which is a bundle of nerves in the body, and each one is centered and located along the spinal cord. The higher ones are, you know, right at the top of the spinal cord where it ends at the bottom, the base of your skull, but then we have one that's on the third eye and then one that's on the crown, which is the top of the head. And so there's something that's associated with each one of them in science, and the spinning wheel of energy, right? Because that ganglion, that bundle of nerves, controls something very specific in your body, that chakra is then in control of those specific things. So the chakras are the energy body of what the physical body controls. Does that make sense?
It does. Yep. I just wanted to make sure that you got that out there. And I love the word when you say science, it's proof. It's science too.
It's proven. Yes. And this book was written in the early 1920s. So this is not new science. It's old stuff.
Yeah. We're not talking about woo woo and all this, you know,
no
magic.
People want to call it woo woo, but it's not. Like, quantum physics proves so much stuff. Right? It proves all the different layers of dimensions and where spirits can reside. And we're such a low vibration. We're in the third dimension. There are so many other things in the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th and on up. And that's what I talk about in my Spirit Guide 101 class in the foundation. We talk about all the different 11 dimensions and how they work and where the spirit guides reside and how we have to raise our vibration to get there. And it's a scientific process, but it's why it works.
And to me, that's also all the more reason for people to really understand this, because this, to me, also helps you individually as a person, perhaps if you're going through any type of grief and things like that, to understand. Yes. Understand yourself, I think.
Yes.
We're really getting into it today, you know? How can we lighten it up? Oh, first, let me say, folks, go to Maria's website, Maria Leggett. So it's MariaLeggett.com. And you're going to find all that stuff, and even a link to Temple of the Sacred Circle.
Yes.
But so how do we lighten this up today? How do we talk about something fun? What's?
Oh, you want me to tell you about my joy guide and who my joy guide is?
Yes, please.
So my joy guide, literally, I am absolutely terrified of rodents, terrified. And when I first started doing mediumship, I was too afraid of mediumship. Like, this was not something I was raised in. It's not like I was, the typical thing that I hear from everybody is, that mediumship is evil and it's bad. That's like the most common misconception of everything is that it's bad. And so I didn't believe in any of this and I was afraid of it. And then when I first started doing this, Spirit's like, oh, we got jokes. Spirit's got jokes for days. And my joy guide wound up being a 6-foot hamster.
I think I've seen that commercial. They drive a little car.
That's exactly what he looks like. Charlie looks exactly like the Kia Soul hamsters. Chuck, I'm not kidding you. He wears one of those velour track suits and he has the gold chain around his neck. And one of my students has a daughter who is so super creative. And I don't know if you can see it, but right behind me, right here, is a version of Charlie. Not that anybody else can see this, but there is a hamster in my hand with a purple velour outfit on.
Oh.
And Charlie was the way that it was easy for me to start talking to Spirit because he's so funny. Charlie loves Doritos. He loves taking bubble baths. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Oh my gosh. You are probably channeling all of this into some ad campaign person at some agency, and that's where they're coming up with these ideas.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I probably shouldn't have used brand name. Sorry.
No, that's all right. oh gosh. All right, that was light and funny. But it's just circling back again to being able to help folks who are in grief and things like that. This really can help them, right?
Yes. It helps them to let go of, it helps them to let go of guilt. It helps them to let go of, did I do anything wrong? Again, we have, Spirit is super clear about this as well, which is anyone, so we're going to get heavy for a moment. Anyone who has had an abortion or lost a baby, you need to understand there was nothing that you did wrong. Everything, all the choices that you made were right. That soul on the other side knew that that was going to happen. It was part of the life plan, and it's okay. They didn't care. They're not mad at you. They're not upset with you. And women need to start letting that go as well, that it doesn't matter if you did, and it doesn't matter. Humans are the ones who have this whole stigma about using, abortion as birth control or whatever. And Spirit doesn't care. And that soul will come back to you in one way, shape, or form.
That's... People, women need to understand that. Yeah.
Yes.
100% agree on that. It comes back, once again, for me, is if you are going through any type of grief and if you're needing guidance or anything like that, don't think of a psychic. Don't look for the wrong thing. Perhaps look for a medium. So, and yes, as Maria was saying, you may look online and you may find it under psychic, but that's because of the algorithm type of thing. But in this situation, if you're in grief, it sounds like to me, if you're going to look for someone that's the right person, that's in the right field, it would be a medium more than a psychic.
Correct. Because they're going to be able to help you. I've had a lot of women sit in front of me who have, again, who have chosen to end a pregnancy, and I help them get through that, and I will hug them and help them and give them hope. And it is a beautiful way for me to be able to help the world one person at a time.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have these massive dreams about doing what we want to do. And I just keep telling Spirit, allow me to just continue to help one person a day. Whatever that is, and if I wind up helping a million people in one day, that's amazing. But if I only help one person a day, that's my goal.
Yeah. Well, Maria, this has been fantastic. I enjoyed having you on again and, clarifying between psychic and a medium and how medium can help people and how people should not hold themselves accountable if something happens to someone else, because we cannot control someone else. We can only control ourselves. So thank you for that clarification and, you know, telling us that. So.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, absolutely. If something new comes up, maybe there'll be a new movie we'll talk about if it's about psychics and mediums.
Wink, wink. Come on, people, call me.
Oh, well, again, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day. I've had a wonderful time, and this is a perfect way to start or end the day is by listening to you and all the wisdom that you have.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.